Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today as we face the issues. We're going to be facing a controversial issue today. I believe it's controversial. You may not find it so. The question is, should Christians celebrate Kwanzaa? What is Kwanzaa? When did Kwanzaa originate? Who originated it? What was its background? Is it antithetical to Scripture, or is it compatible with the Word of God? We're going to look at that in just a moment. And let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you've celebrated Kwanzaa, if you think that it's all right, if you've been involved in that, you've got questions about whether you should or should not, if you've got questions about whether your child is being taught that in the public school system, we'd love to entertain your questions, your comments, your calls today on this broadcast as we face the issues. Should Christians celebrate Kwanzaa? In fact, I could broaden it. Should anybody celebrate Kwanzaa? Should it be taught in our public schools? Yet it is, and we'll talk about that today. But ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about the issues, as we face them day by day, I want to remind you that we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is the truth book, the Word of God. I believe that we need to get back to fundamental basics of thus saith the Word of God. I believe we need to get back to what does the Word of God say as the fundamental foundation of what we say and do. It was in John 8:31-32 that Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Following Jesus, continuing in his word, will allow us to know the truth. And it's the truth of the Word of God that'll set us free. Free from the bondage of sin, self, and Satan. It'll set us free in life and living for the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Jesus in John 14:6 that said, "I am truth." And then in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God that should embolden us, should encourage us, should challenge us, should illumine us. And it's through the Word of God that gives us the knowledge of God's word, and then it is the wisdom of God that teaches us how to use that knowledge that he gives us in the truth book, the Word of God. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And perhaps you're listening today, and with what I'm about to tell you, what I'm about to say, I found in historic past, when I deal with issues like this, there's some that get a little bristled up in the back, as I call it, and want to disengage and somehow accuse the messenger because the message is so accurate and correct. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that said, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And that's what I believe God calls on us to do each and every day, is to live the truth, love the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, defend the truth, even if it means standing and placing our lives on the line. We need to do so based on the authority of Scripture. We ought not to shy away from any issue that is truth. We need to stand on truth without any falter or failure. And it's the truth of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries a full line of equipment for homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the landscape equipment for the professional as well as for the homeowner. Tools for Time is located, ladies and gentlemen, 11291, that's 11291, Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. A good benchmark for finding Tools for Time is to locate the gigantic Old Glory flag, the U.S. flag flowing at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's on a 165-foot flagpole flying high, high, high in the sky as you go by the intersection looking at Old Glory. Find that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, a very serious subject that we must embrace, understand, and deal with. I believe that it's time Christians wake up, sit up, and as I call it, smell the coffee and recognize the dangers that loom ahead of us. And I'm not just talking about the present convoluted quagmire that we're in with the election. I'm talking about in general. Be careful about what we embrace, what we believe in, what we see. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe America seems to be too accepting of ideas, suggestions, and fake celebrations. We've already either changed or embraced or somehow eliminated several of our main holidays that formerly are on your calendar for the United States of America. If you have an iPhone put out by Apple, you find several things. And by the way, I get a little upset with it because the iPhone app comes in your telephone with the preset names and holidays on your calendar, and you can't take them off. And you have all kinds of holidays that's placed there on that by the geniuses that made the Apple telephone. And some of them are just those that we ought not to even recognize. We ought not to even have them on the American calendar. But we do. They're changing or eliminating several of the holidays in America. We no longer have Washington's birthday, no longer have Lincoln's birthday. We no longer have Columbus Day. We do, however, have that holiday that's called Indigenous Peoples Day, the Indigenous Peoples Day, where we celebrate Native Indians. Now, there's nothing wrong with Native Indians. There's a whole lot wrong when we take the historical holidays off our calendars and put Indigenous Peoples Day instead. And ladies and gentlemen, we are celebrating things today in America because we're naive and accepting. Perhaps the most frightening of these egregious holidays is the celebration of Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa. You ever celebrated Kwanzaa? What is Kwanzaa? Have you done so blindly, ignorantly, in a sense of stupidity, as I would call it, based on biblical studies? Have you celebrated Kwanzaa on the basis that your child does in school and it must be all right? Does your church celebrate Kwanzaa? That's the major question I want us to trickle down to in this broad, broad analysis. I'm taking a very broad subject. I'm trying to focus it in on this broadcast today and the time that's allotted to us for our understanding and edification and challenge, because it comes up on December the 26th. It's a six-day holiday. December the 26th through January the 1st is the time frame that it's generally celebrated in. And our schools, including Duval County Schools, and we'll talk about that later in this broadcast, celebrate this absolute evil, wicked, unholy, unbiblical holiday. When you know the roots of it, when you know the founder of it, when you know his background, his reputation, his morals, his ethics, and his values, then you must ask the question, how can I celebrate such a ludicrous holiday, special day? Kwanzaa is celebrated each year, ladies and gentlemen, from December the 26th through January the 1st. Kwanzaa is a holiday that's praised and celebrated in some of our churches, and not only celebrated, but taught, ladies and gentlemen, piecemeal, piece by piece, every day for that six-day period of time in our public schools. The teachers take all kind of crafts, teaching the students how to dress for Kwanzaa, how to make placemats for Kwanzaa, how to light the candles for Kwanzaa, It is very, very, very egregious to me as a Christian, as a pastor, as a theologian, to recognize that this is taking place in America. Now, we'll fast forward and tell you that based on my research, that the numbers that are celebrating that has fallen dramatically since 2009. Now, I don't know the rationale behind it. I don't know the reasoning behind it, but I am delighted to tell you that at the front side, that since 2009, the celebration of Kwanzaa has dramatically decreased. Now, I don't know whether that'll continue in that trajectory or not, or whether it will continue to decrease, but I pray that it does. So just what kind of celebration takes place with Kwanzaa? Supposedly, ladies and gentlemen, the name Kwanzaa comes from the phrase that means first fruits in the Swahili language. Swahili, Swahili, you pronounce it in that language. Kwanzaa is mostly celebrated in America. Ladies and gentlemen, the thing that I find so egregious about Kwanzaa is supposedly this dude, if I can call him that for the time being, before we get to that portion of the broadcast where we talk about the person that invented this fake, phony, evil, wicked holiday called Kwanzaa. Before I get into that, the very thing that he says that he drew from the nations that he drew the practices from are nations around the globe that have never heard of it, they've never practiced it, nor do they understand it, nor do they embrace it. But yet it is embraced by Americans on the supposition that it is from an African root and it should be celebrated as an African studies. Ladies and gentlemen, we have come a long way. We supposedly have, since the 60s, brought ethnic groups together. We have had laws on the books that have been embraced by multitudes of every race, creed, and color, for bringing about the integration and not the segregation based on ethnicity. But this holiday, supposed holiday, Kwanzaa, is a holiday designed to divide, to designed to disenfranchise, if you please, and to dis, if I can use that term, Christmas, and to displace it with a fake, phony, false, evil, wicked, fallacious, felonious a holiday called Kwanzaa. Now, I don't know if you understand with my superlatives that I am absolutely opposed to Kwanzaa. Let me remind you once again, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to speak to you if you have a differing opinion. Love to understand from whence you come. If you have celebrated, I'd like to know when, where, and why. If your students, your kids in school are celebrating it, I'd like for you to call me. Talk about, tell me the teacher's name, tell me the school's name, and I'll call them out publicly because it ought not to be done. And very fast forward, I can say this. If we can't celebrate Christ in the school, if we can't celebrate the birth of Jesus by decorating a Christmas tree in the public schools, if we can't celebrate Christmas even by having candy canes because that represents the Christmas celebration as the ACLU and others have demeaned it, and you cannot do it. If you cannot use in the classroom greens and reds, sparkly gold colors that celebrates Christmas, how can we then with good conscience say that it's okay to brainwash our kids in a governmentally controlled school system where they have open minds to believe whatever the teacher tells them, and the teacher's inculcating that junk, if I can be polite and call it that, in their minds and embracing it as being real? Ladies and gentlemen, this holiday called Kwanzaa is a fake, phony, farcical holiday that has no rudimentary, elemental, fundamental, how would you say, redeeming value in the United States of America. May I remind us, and I'll remind you once again, the scripture is very clear in Colossians 2:8. Beware of any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. We need to realize that this is what is happening. It is the same ploy that Satan used with Eve in the Garden of Eden. Hath God said? And then he points out how wonderful it would be, and she is intrigued by it, and reaches out, touches it, and then eats it. That's the fruit on the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's the fall of the human race in Genesis, the third chapter, ladies and gentlemen. This fake, phony, false holiday was created by a felon. A felon. One that was in prison for murder and torture and imprisonment of women because of a passionate desire to have his organization, and we'll talk about that further, to have his organization be the chief one. And the Black Panthers of that day in the 60s, the 70s, and his organization was in competition with who has the control over the black folks in our city and towns and communities. And that's exactly what happened in 1966. And we'll discuss his life and his legacy a little later in this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Kwanzaa originated as an alternative to the celebration of Christmas. An alternative to the celebration of Christmas. I'm looking at I've got a fistful of articles, ladies and gentlemen. I pray that our broadcast time we can redeem the time and get in most of these because they're so vital for us to understand the truth of this celebration called Kwanzaa. I'm looking at an article here that's about a 5-page article, simply entitled Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa is a 7-day festival that celebrates African and African-American culture and history. Kwanzaa takes place from the 26th of December to the 1st of January. During Kwanzaa, a special candle holder is used, and it holds 7 candles, 3 red ones on the left, 3 green ones on the right, and a black candle in the center. Each night during Kwanzaa, a candle is lit. The black center candle is lit, and then the alternative alternates between the red and the green candles, stating the ones on the outside and moving inward. This is quite similar to the lighting of the menorah in the Jewish Festival of Lights called Hanukkah. The 7-day candles in Kwanzaa represents the 7 principles of Kwanzaa. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. This man that orchestrated this man that had bad pizza apparently when he dreamt this up or dreamed it up, however you want to term it, and then he called these 7 candles. One is emoji. That is for unity. And then the others for self-determination. And then the collective work and responsibility. And then cooperative economies. And then purpose. And then creativity. And then faith. Out of the 7 candles, he gives them supposedly Swahili names. And yet in the countries that speak Swahili, they do not know these names. They've never heard of these names. They're not anyway, embracing these terms as this creator of this fake, phony, false, farcical, unbiblical, unholy, ungodly celebration named them. It goes further in this article. There are also 7 symbols used in Kwanzaa, the 7 items often set on the Kwanzaa table with the candle arbor in the house. The mat, a woven mat of fabric or paper. Symbols are placed on the mat. It symbolizes experience and foundations. Then the unity cup. It goes on to talk about the juice is poured, juice or wine. A little is poured out to remember the ancestors. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. This literally is a celebration for celebrating. It is ancestral worship celebration. That's the bottom line. It is a demonic, unholy, ungodly celebration of dead ancestors. It's an ancestral celebration. Then the crops, that is fruit and vegetables from the harvest. These normally include bananas and mangoes and peaches and plantains, oranges and other favorites. They're shared out with others. And then the candle holder. It represents the days and principles of Kwanzaa, according to this writer. And then you have the 7 candles itself placed in the holder. Black, red, and green are the colors of the African flag. The corn, there's 1 ear of corn for each child in the family. If there are no children in the family, then 1 ear of corn is used to represent the children in the community around you. Then the gifts. Gifts are given to the children during Kwanzaa are normally educational, such as books and DVDs and games. There's also a gift reminding them of their African heritage. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, gifts like DVDs and games, etc. You can tell this has been modernized. Back in the 60s and 70s, you didn't have DVDs and CDs and electronic games. This has all been whitewashed and updated for the eye candy, for the Americans. that have little or no sense of understanding or no ability to reason and have rationale with what they do and say, to embrace phony, false, farcical celebrations like Kwanzaa. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the celebration intended to displace Christmas, to displace Christmas. Here's one article. According to the University of Minnesota, Professor Keith Mayer, the author of Kwanzaa, A Black Power and the Making of the African-American Holiday Tradition, the popularity within the U.S. has leveled off as the Black Power movement there has declined. And as of 2009, about 500,000 to 1.5 million people still celebrate Kwanzaa in the U.S., between 1 and 5% of the American African-Americans. Mayer added that white institutions now also celebrate Kwanzaa. Further, the article says, during the early years of Kwanzaa, the originator said that it was meant to be an alternative to Christmas. Now, the whitewashed update modernization of the rationale and the reason behind starting Kwanzaa has dramatically changed. You'll not find that, generally speaking, on any website today that will tell you that he designed it, implemented it, originated it as an alternative to Christmas. He says Jesus was a psychotic and that Christianity was a white man's religion and black people should shun Christian religions like Christmas. However, as Kwanzaa gained mainstream ardence, the originator altered his position so that practicing Christians would not be alienated. Then, starting in 1997, Kwanzaa is a celebration for family and community and culture. Notice the, if you please, the evolution of Kwanzaa. It started out as being a black man's religion, a black man's celebration rather than celebrating Christmas, because he said Jesus Christ was a psychotic and Christianity was a white man's religion that black men should shun. Ladies and gentlemen, you find the evolution of Kwanzaa, just as you find so many of these fake, phony, farcical ideas or holidays or celebrations seem to have an evolutionary process to them that makes it more and more, if you please, embraced and less questioned in relationship to it. How many kids do we have in schools today that are studying Kwanzaa, that are embracing Kwanzaa? They have no earthly idea that comes from the roots of black power and the murderous idea of killing everything that is non-white in the 60s and 70s, and the black power authority that was vested in it in the minds and the hearts of those that were carrying it out. Kwanzaa was not created to give people an alternative to their own religions and their own holidays, the updated modern version says about Kwanzaa. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand the devastation to the hearts and the minds of those that embrace this and how it splits the loyalty from that of honoring Christ and Christ alone, how it divides the loyalty from the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to the celebration of philosophies and deceit of men, and allows that to come in between the individual as a Christian and the individual in a school. And I understand that there may be some that's listening to me today that you're not saved. You've not said yes to Christ. So it's easy to embrace a lie. It's easy to not discern truth based on the authority of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear from you. What are your thoughts? Do you have any questions about Kwanzaa? Have you embraced it? Do you celebrate it? Do you believe that it's all right to place it right beside Christmas, the day after Christmas, and celebrate it for 7 days, mimicking Hanukkah for the Jewish people, mimicking anything that would be called Christmas in giving of gifts and receiving of gifts? Ladies and gentlemen, it's an alternative to Christmas. That's the way it was set up. And I make just a little thought here. How sad it is about to understand that somewhere between 500,000 and 2 million people in America celebrate this unholy holiday each year that's meant to cancel or to counter, that's C-O-U-N-T-E-R, to either cancel or counter the celebration of Christmas. How many people that celebrate Hanukkah will dress their house up with all of the Hanukkah garbage and the paraphernalia, putting the mats out, putting out the fruit, putting out. In fact, I've looked at picture after picture after picture, and it looks like it would represent Thanksgiving. Ladies and gentlemen, what they're now evolved to and putting out fruit, saying that that represents Hanukkah. Ladies and gentlemen, it represents black power. It represents the authoritative rule of the fist clenched in a shaking the clenched fish heavenward, which is the tradition for the black power of the 60s and 70s. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, talking about the individual. His name is Maulana, Milano, K-A-R-E-N-G-A, Karenja, I think would be the way you pronounce it. The dude was born Ronald McKinley, 1941, July the 14th. Ronald McKinley, wanting to wash his name after he got out of prison. Ronald McKinley chose a name that has a Swahili sound. He's an African-American professor of African-American studies. He's an activist. He's an author, best known as the creator of the Pan-African and African-American holiday of Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa was created, and this man is the major figure in the Black Power movement of the 1960s and 70s. This article says he was the co-founder with Hakeem Jamal, the black nationalist and social change organizer in America. And he goes on to give his background, where he was born, grew up in Los Angeles. Couldn't expect much better coming out of that part of the world, I reckon, would be safe to say. But ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact that we need to understand today that it's a celebration of a fake, phony, false holiday. It has nothing, N-O-T-H-I-N-G, to do with culture and with community, and with embracing anything called faith and family or culture. It has nothing to do with family, community, and culture. It's all to do with the Black Power movement of the 60s and the 70s and the authoritarian position with the fist clenched, shaking the fist toward God, and the wanting to tear down and destroy anything that was called the culture of the 60s and 70s, and that has evolved into something that's supposed to be culturally sound and culturally embraced. I am very bothered by that. Looking at an article, says, a brief history of Kwanzaa, a brief history of Kwanzaa. And it goes through the different things that they utilize for that history. And it is about a three-page article. And it gives Swahili names. And then it gives the crops and the fruits and the veggies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that's supposed to be embraced during that period of time. But the truth is, and it goes back to the rudimentary, fundamental, foundational, elemental facts, that it was created to try to overpower, to destroy, to overlook, and to shun anything that's called Christmas, because the originator said that Jesus Christ was a psychotic. Christianity was a white man's religion, and black people should shun Christmas. I don't know of anything that's any more egregious biblically than to hear that and to understand that. So, ladies and gentlemen, the question begs to be asked and demands to be answered. Should Americans, should the church, should any pastor, should any Christian, should any Christian conservative pastor or church allow their kids or grandkids to be taught that in the public school? And yet, I would be willing to assure you that as a parent, if you're listening today, as a grandparent today, you're listening, you've never been told that your kids are taught that, your grandkids are taught that in the public school. The question that I demand to be answered by Dr. Green, that is superintendent of the schools in Duval County, and for any other superintendent of schools across the state of Florida and in the United States of America, why are we allowing this and disallowing a Christmas tree, a Bible, and singing Jesus Loves Me, or anything to do with Christmas in the public classroom today? I'm angered by that. I challenge that. If you're a teacher, call me and talk with me if you're teaching that in your school. Love to hear from you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour for news. Don't turn your dial. A lot more to come as we talk about and asking the question, should Christians celebrate Kwanzaa?
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.